Dr. Norman Yan. He's a retired Department of Biology from York University. He's leading a team studying calcium deficiency in lakes in central Ontario. And this is all new to me. I know Stevie's probably more up on this kind of stuff than myself. As you know, back in the day, we talked about acid rain, et cetera. So I think Dr. Yan will be able to give us sort of the modern day version of what's going on with that. Are you there, Norman? Are you on the line? Hello, Dr. Norman Yan. Are you there? Oh boy, wow. If he's not there, we're going to be in trouble because I have no idea about calcium in water.
You know what? It's a mineral that everything needs, right? And when there's a deficiency in minerals in any kind of ecosystem, the real worry, in my estimation, is it cuts down at the root of your ecosystem. It's the small organisms that use it that the big ones feed on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully,
and we'll see if I'm right.
Let's see if you're right now. Dr. Yan, are you there?
I am.
Hello, Dr. Yan.
Dr. Nitswicki beside me here. did you hear what Steve just said there, doctor?
No, I didn't quite, but I heard something about small organisms and big organisms.
Oh, that's all. That's us right here. He's a big organism, and I'm a small organism in this radio booth right now.
We were throwing around ideas of the effects of calcium deficiency in the ecosystem. Hopefully, you can point us in the right direction.
I hope I can.
Go ahead, sir.
Oh, go ahead. Okay, so a quick review. All living things need calcium. You and I are 7% calcium, roughly. Bass are 8% calcium. Trout are 2% calcium. So all living things, plants and animals, need calcium. And my recent interest is alarmed by the fact that calcium levels were falling in lakes up in Muskoka and Halliburton. They've fallen by 20 to 50% over the last 30 or 40 years. And so that was caused mainly by kind of a legacy of acid rain. 50 to 70 years of acid rain has leached about half a ton of calcium per hectare out of soils, to the point where, and that means lakes get their calcium from the forest. So we first spotted this with water calcium levels falling to the point where the little animals that you talk about that fish eat were starting to be in real trouble. They're about 10% calcium. And so then we moved back into the forest and realized that soil levels of calcium had fallen by 20% or so. And so the maple trees weren't fully waking up in the summer. So a combination of acid rain, a little bit of maybe too much logging in areas that have poorer soils is what caused this problem and got our interest.
Interesting. Now, let's talk about the end result. Are we seeing any evidence that are affecting the sport fish that we hunt for and fish for, or is it still just on the micro level at this point?
It's more than the micro level. We're first of all seeing effects on the forest. In the lakes, we have absolutely strong evidence that there's effects on crustacea. Things like crayfish are in trouble, and the little animal plankton that keep the lakes clean are in trouble. We haven't yet seen direct effects on fish, although every level of the food web, different animals and plants have different calcium requirements. So as I said, trout are 2% calcium, bass are about 8% calcium. So if there was going to be an effect on fish, it would probably start with animals like bass because they're having more trouble catching crayfish, and you know, from which they'll get their calcium. It's pretty widespread. It affects about half the lakes in Muskoka now, and the calcium levels we believe are sort of beyond even the evolutionary experience of plants and animals. The levels are really remarkably low. In some cases, they've fallen by 50% from the levels in the 1980s.
So, doctor, back to the crayfish, crustaceans. If they are lacking in calcium, are they dying, or are they just not giving the bass that eat these crustaceans, are they just not giving them the calcium? What's happening to the crayfish?
No, the crayfish are actually dying. So it starts that whenever they molt their shell and try and get a new shell, they have trouble doing it, so they're soft. And then, but right. across Muskoka, there's been about a 25% decline in just the number of crayfish that you can catch in the lake. So they're actually dying out. And there are lakes now that where government scientists used to catch crayfish, they can't catch them anymore. They're just gone.
So the food that our sport fish are eating are dying off to begin with, and that's going to be obviously a
huge problem. It's a huge problem. That's a scary problem. Now, what are some of the measures that we can do to help rectify this? Like, can we spread calcium through the bush, like maybe with wood ash or adding, or how do we fix this problem?
This is one case where the provincial and national governments have done what they should do. The main cause was acid rain, and the rain falling in Muskoka is now 30 times less acidic than it used to be. It's pretty much back to normal. But we think it'll take hundreds of years for this problem to fix itself. So there is a role for people to get involved. The group I chair is called the Friends of the Muskoka Watershed, and we have a project called Ash Muskoka, and we looked, what we tend to do is look for local solutions where we can get people involved, just as you've mentioned. So the local solution we're thinking of is to use residential wood ash. The ash is from your fireplace and wood stove. It's about 30% calcium and has other good nutrients too, like potassium and phosphorus. And gardeners have been using wood ash in their gardens for years, so they know about this.
The
issue is we don't quite know
how
much to use or how to collect it, that kind of thing. So this year we're trying to collect 8 tons of wood ash. So that means we need the wood ash from probably 500 people. And we're going to be testing how much is actually needed in 3 sugar bushes to correct the problem of the sugar maple trees, to wake them up, and leave enough left for the groundwater that then can help our lakes. The problem is we've only got about 2 tons so far, so we need to collect another 5 or 6 tons by this fall. So what we would hope that cottagers and permanent residents, hunters and fishers that heat with wood in Muskoka might do is go to the ashmuskoka.ca website and start sharing their ash with us, and we'll figure out exactly how much is needed to benefit the wood, benefit the lakes and the forests.
Right on. So if I'm a Muskoka cottager, do I have to take my ash somewhere? Is there somebody that comes and picks it up? How does that process work?
Okay. So at the moment, you are allowed as a cottager or a homeowner to take your ash to one of the transfer stations and put it in with the green compost. But that won't necessarily get it back to the forest where it's needed. So what we think you should do is reach out to us at ashmuskoka.ca, and we will give you a collection, like a 75-liter garbage can that you can use to save your ash. And then we have a series of ash drives. So we're having 4 ash drives this summer. So once people reach out to us, they get on our website, and we reach out to them. And do our best to have them bring their ash to one of our ash drives.
You know what? That's fantastic that you guys are helping like that. You put that out. What we will do too, Norman, is we will get that up on fishingcanada.com, and hopefully we can get through our socials, et cetera, we can get people aware, because I'm sure that's what it is the awareness of getting people that can do this, that burn wood, et cetera, that we can get them to contribute.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
100%.
If they get a hold of you at ashmuskoka.ca, there's obviously an email or address or something like that can show them the protocol, the procedure, whatever it is to do this, correct?
Yep. They go to that site, and at the bottom of the first page, there's a place where you sign up, and that sends an email to us. And the email address, if you want it, is actually it's the short form for Friends of the Muskoka Watershed. So ashmuskoka@fotmw.org. But they can just go to ashmuskoka.ca too.
Excellent, sir. I thank you very much, Norman, for joining us today. I think that's it's going to open up some eyes, and hopefully we will help you along the way to rectify this upcoming problem, because it looks like it's a future. So
yeah, keep us informed.
Thanks so
thank
much
you
for
very
joining
much.
Us, sir. All right.
And we're going to go to a quick break here. Don't you dare go away.